And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out.
He's Andy Thomas and I'm Natalie. And coming up on the show today, NA.
That's Narcotics Anonymous. Emerson will be here to tell us all about an LGBT NA group that meets here in Bristol.
And B&B.
That'll be a film. We spoke to Jane a while back ago and Rose has been there during the film and she's going to be here to tell us all about it a bit later on.
And a rather special treat for all you Pride fans.
All coming today on Shout Out. Hello, one and all.
Hello.
Hello.
Good evening.
How are we all?
That tastes nice, Nat. That was making me hungry.
what are you eating?
A peanut butter cookie. Peanut cookie.
Oh, nice. Eating on air, I see.
Yeah, two seconds before we're going on air and her mouth is full.
Well, takes after you then, doesn't she?
Oh, ouch.
Okay, let's move on.
Cold today, wasn't it?
I don't know what's the matter with you, Steph. You used to be the quick one with these quick, witty things. And
yeah, but I've got to give you a turn sometimes, Andy. There was complaints saying that I was having all the goes and you weren't... So it's your turn. And you're a poorly boy, so I thought I'd be...
Yeah, I'm on Cavonia.
We'll be good to you.
Is that
tonight.
How you say it? Or is it Cavonia? Cavonia. I'm sure the advert's Cavonia.
No, it's Cavonia.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. So... Anyway, I was at the LGBT History Month stuff at the weekend.
Ooh,
tell us all.
Yeah, it was really good. Well, we had the whole kind of kickoff thing on the Friday evening, which I went to, which was fantastic. Some brilliant speakers at that one, including Stuart Milk as well, who Ivan interviewed and we had on the show the other week. But myself and Mary stepped in for Terry, who, bless him, is still here. We hope you get well soon, mate. And we gave a speech on the history of LGBT radio, which was good fun. It was really good. But we did manage to get some audio from the opening event on the Friday, and there was a real little gem in it that we thought we had to broadcast this week. This week, so have a listen to this. Oh no, that's your one, isn't it? Here we go.
LGBT History Month was marked in Bristol last weekend with a conference at the M Shed. Opened with a civic launch on Friday, with speakers including Lord Mayor Claire Campion-Smith, who had some good news for Pride.
And some of those messages came out very clearly at full council on Tuesday, as councillors debated giving money to the Pride Festival. Well, don't get too excited, it was only £10,000, but it is a start. But what was very clear was the belief intolerance and understanding that came in the debate.
The Lord Mayor went on to mention tolerance several times in her speech. More of that later, but let's first talk to Freddie from Pride about that funding.
I know we're actually here talking about LGBT history, but there was quite a breaking story in there that we couldn't help but collar you about, and that's that Pride's actually getting some money off the council this year. It must be over the moon.
Yes, no, it's great. It was a budget amendment put forward by Labour, and it was voted through by Labour, Lib Dems and Greens. It was quite a hugely positive, so they obviously recognised that it's about time they gave us a little bit of money.
Well, we've been pestering them for years, haven't we? We've had George Ferguson on Shout Out saying, you know, we'll try. It must have been quite a relief when you saw it come over your desk. I'm guessing you haven't decided what it's going on yet, or is it just going in the big pot?
I fear it'll probably go for very boring things like infrastructure, site fees arising, just very dull, non-flashy parts, but essential for making Pride actually happen.
One of the next to speak was LGBT History Month guest Stuart Milk, and he had a message for our Lord Mayor.
Where we thrive as a human race, it's where we celebrate our differences, where we realise the power of our differences, we realise the strength of our differences, and we celebrate them. And no disrespect to your Lord Mayor, but we do not today, in 2016, ask for tolerance. That's a low bar. We ask that everyone be celebrated, that everyone be accepted and that everyone fully be included so that their full passion, their full purpose can be brought to bear to enrich our communities and our families and ourselves.
George Ferguson, our elected mayor, spoke to us before he'd heard Stuart Milk's speech.
In my lifetime, attitudes have changed so much. But I have to say that I think Bristol is brilliant now in that people generally get it. There are the odd idiot that is still buried in the past, but I really celebrate the diversity, the vitality, the culture that comes with LGBT history and with its presence and celebration in Bristol.
I couldn't help but notice there was a little bit of a hint in there that this year Pride's actually getting some funding from the council.
Yes, and I'm really pleased that it was brought to the council. So I get a lot of stick for putting money into culture, into diversity, into the vitality of this city. So it's brilliant when it comes from the council that I should be giving money to Pride. And what's great about Pride is, A, it's probably one of the best events in the city. And I would probably take probably out of that statement. It is a family event. It's for everybody. And it benefits the economy more than almost any other event. It is great for the city. So thank you.
It's lovely to see the council's put, because I know we spoke to you at several Prides and we're forever saying to you, why is there no funding for it, etc. It must have been quite a relief when you saw it come up and they were saying, actually, yes, let's vote and, you know, give them some money.
No, it's a huge relief. It's something I want to do. I think there was probably a bit of a cock-up in a previous application that Pride has suffered from. And so I really want to create a festivals fund that is not just an arts fund, but recognises that festivals have a really important part to play in this city.
Cool. Well, listen, I know your time's precious, but thank you for talking to us. Enjoy the rest of the weekend, and hopefully we'll see you at Pride as well.
Great, and I'll be shouting out there.
Cool.
Thanks.
Thank you. I did like the last pun at the end, it'd be shouting at it.
Oh, yes.
It was really my badge.
Name drop.
But how about that? Pride and some money.
Yeah, at last.
In fact, I have a funny feeling we've got Darren on the show next week, so...
10K, that's not a sum to be sniffed at.
I can tell you it's roughly about a tenth of probably what they need. As in what Pride costs.
Get out there to the fundraisers.
Yeah, you know what they're like? They're really humble about it because they want it to be a free festival and they want everybody to be able to be involved. So, you know, they're not forever going on about the cost of it. They just say, please donate, you know, whenever you talk to the people organising Pride. But it was really, really nice and it was quite a revelation that it happened. So, led by Labour, a guy called Ollie. I can't remember his surname, but we do know him.
It's nice to see that the mayor thinks it's good for the city as well, isn't it? And it brings so much in.
It was very interesting as well that Stuart Milk caught out our Lord Mayor talking about tolerance.
Yes.
She did say that several times. In her defence, I have to admit, I don't think she was doing it on purpose. I think she was trying to talk about equality. I think she just picked the wrong term, bless her.
Oh.
So, you know, these things can happen.
Yes, well, people need to think at times, and education is all just needed for everyone.
Yes.
Well, tolerance is a good start.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, I kicked it off by accident instead of that one, but it is that time, so should we have your jingle now?
Oh, go on then.
So, Out Shouts, it's our pick of the event.
Yeah. Do you remember Freedom Youth?
Of course I do.
20 years. Can you believe they've been going for 20 years?
Yes. They got a wonderful lot of praise from Stuart Milk. He was saying it's fantastic that we had a group like Freedom Youth
Absolutely.
Here in Bristol.
Well, they're now part of Off the Record.
Yes.
Now, so they're not a standalone. So it's a part of a mental health organisation.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. It is a positive thing, yeah. But what they want you to, because it's the 20th anniversary, they want anybody who used to be part of Freedom Youth to actually get in touch, because they want to start putting a book together, the history of Freedom Youth.
Mm. I have a funny feeling Out Stories are doing audio as well about people who went to Freedom Youth.
Really?
So I guess if you're willing to talk to them, they might interview you too.
Well, I've got an email address. It's lgbtq@otrbristol.org.uk. Now, if you were a previous member, then you need to get in touch. It's going to be at the station, which is most people know as Silver Street, and that's between March the 4th, between 5 and 7. So what they're looking for is your stories, your memories for the Heritage History Project. There's coffee and biscuits.
Oh.
Yay, I always love for the coffee and biscuits.
Oh, no, it can't be. It's kids.
As well as the email address, there's a phone number, which is, I won't give out on air, it's all on our website, it's all been posted.
On the event section.
It is on the event section, yeah. Now, this next one is personal events. It's been done by Google. And it's called Places of Pride. I know. It's being launched from Google Australia, and it's a really good idea. You put the pin on the map.
You were talking to me about this the other night, weren't you?
Yeah, I was, yeah. Now, let me just give a bit of blurb about what Google are about. Worried when you go abroad and where you'll be safe, you can now worry a little less, as Google have launched a new Places of Pride map. The best part is that people of the LGBT community can tell each other when they find their own places of pride, as users are able to add their own places and comment on the map to share memories and sentiments.
I had
what
a quick look.
Really good idea.
I had a quick look, and it's like if you go to India, there's people who say, I came out to my mum here.
Hello. Okay.
Yeah.
Which is really sweet.
It is, yeah, and where people have had their first kiss.
Now, can we point out, though, there is not a single pin yet in Bristol?
No, that's what I was going to mention.
So go put a pin in Bristol and say what?
Not to hurt it.
No. It's a rainbow pin, isn't
and
it?
And I will add, remember, it's not a physical pin in your screen.
Yes.
Thanks for that, Natalie. Yeah. I was just trying to put a pin in my tablet. Yeah, and it wouldn't go. It's scratching the glass.
Oh, dear.
That's it. Now, if you want all the information, just go to our website, because that one is in the news section.
Oh, what, the pin one?
One about the Google Places of Pride. So when you do have your first kiss or your first cuddle or your first dance in a club, put that pin on Google Places of Pride.
Does it have to be the first one?
No. First one? No, of course not. But I'm not even going to go there, Natalie.
should point out, if you can't find stuff on the website, there's a search at the top, and you can just type in like Places of Pride and it'll come up.
Yes.
So. Yeah.
But the link is from our website.
Yeah. Shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Yes.
So, cool. Thank you very much, Steph.
Thank you.
You're listening to Shout Out on BSR 107.1, GFM 103.2, Pirate Nation Radio, Bass Radio, and of course at our lovely home where we make the show, which is BCFM 93.2. Stay with us, we're going to be talking to our guest next.
Hi, this is Lucy Spraggan, and you're listening to Shout Out Radio.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go, that was Electro Velvet, We're Still In Love With You, which is last year's Eurovision entry, wasn't it?
So. I keep thinking about going online and ordering a flapper dress.
I really liked it, because they had all the kind of like, the suits that change colour, with all the lights on, do you remember?
Yeah.
But they didn't do very well, which was a bit of a shame.
I know, but it is a good, happy song, yeah.
But I know that they've got an article in the news coming up later about this year's Eurovision, because the finalists are have been announced, for the UK one, that is. If you want to see who they are and what they're doing, have a look on the news section of our website, because we've even put a link to the video from the BBC on there, so you can see them actually performing live, which is quite cool.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Yeah. So now, from Eurovision to a completely different subject, we're very kindly joined in the studio by a chap by the name of Emerson. So Welcome, Shout Out.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Now, you come in to talk to us about, I was going to say a new group, because of course it's the first time I've heard of it, but it isn't actually a new group, is it? You've been going quite a while, haven't you?
Yes, now we've probably been going about 3 months, I think, maybe just over 3 months.
Right. I mean, for those listening at home, do you want to give them an idea of what kind of a group it is?
Yeah, certainly. It's actually an NA group, a Narcotics Anonymous group.
Right.
But it specialises. When I say specialises, it's mainly tailored for the LGBT community. So we sort of felt the need to have one of those in Bristol because there hadn't been one to our knowledge so far, not in NA anyway.
Yeah.
So,
and you were telling me last night when we had a chat on the phone that London's got loads of them though.
Yeah.
Quite surprised there weren't any in Bristol.
Well, London's fortunate to have the Soho area, obviously. So there's a few around there. London is slightly better tailored for the LGBT community in addiction or for alcoholism, has to be said, yes.
Okay, is addiction a big problem in the LGBT community then?
There are some statistics that addiction and relapse is a slightly bigger problem in the LGBT community. And there's many reasons for that. They're quite extensive reasons. I can go into that more if we need to, or...
Well, it's usually to do, you know, it can be the pressure of things like having to come out, can't it? And
The feeling unloved and...
I mean, it's like you said, though, it's quite a broad subject. There are lots of reasons that affect it. But can I ask, is this something that you set up because of your own personal experience?
It definitely is. It definitely is. When I came into recovery, I was just missing something. I was doing all the suggested things and I was trying to keep myself busy and keep up with my meetings and work a program of spirituality. And it was helping me, don't get me wrong, it really was, but I just wasn't getting, for me, the identification that I needed as somebody who is transgender.
Right.
So I thought, well, I'll set up my own group. And then, of course, that's grown, and it's not my group, it's our group now. It's
which
growing.
Quite a common thing from what I hear. You kind of become self-supporting as a group. Would that be correct to say?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it's still steadily growing now. And that's the whole idea, you know. We want to get as many people as possible that are suffering with the disease of addiction and that also identify on the LGBTQ spectrum. You need to get them as much help as possible. So that's the reason.
Of course, one thing you find is the people that have gone through such things and realise the issues better than anyone that could go off on a training course.
Well, this is exactly it, actually, and this is why also the government's very fond of employing ex-addicts to go on to be counsellors and stuff within the drugs community, because it really helps when you're getting information and hope and support of somebody who's been there.
Yeah.
So is it? Give me a kind of idea if you know I'm concerned that I have an addiction and I'm looking for help and I hear about your group, it can still, from what I understand, because I won't lie, I haven't had an addiction, so I don't know. But from what I understand from talking to you last night and other people we spoke to doing the research, you know, it can take an awful long time to identify it yourself and even admit it, let alone think about something like going along to a group to get help.
Yeah,
that can often be quite a big scary step to actually go along to a group that's doing it. So,
Yes. You
know, if someone's listening at home at the moment and they are concerned, they might be addicted to something and want to get some help, what are they most likely going to experience first time they come along to your group?
Well, if they were to come along to my group, excuse me, is that they'd experience a friendly face to greet them and a warm, supportive group that would welcome them. And then they can sort of get involved as much or as little as they'd like to or feel comfortable with. We also have a preamble as well that's aimed at newcomers.
Right.
So to sort of help put them at ease and to explain and express that all of us, or most of us that are sitting there at that point, have been in that position, of that terrifying position of walking in the door and not knowing what to expect and being absolutely terrified, you know. So
yeah, what you tend to find is once they're there, because there is people that understand the issues they've got, they tend to end up relaxing and feeling quite comfortable to discuss some very, very personal details and issues at times.
This is definitely the case, of course, because what's been my experience of what happens is people get that identification and that relation that they need. Most people, you know, I'm very pleased to announce, they sort of realise that they're in the right place, you know, and they get comfortable very quickly. And that is vastly due to the fact that they can hear other people speaking openly and honestly about their addiction and their issues.
Yeah, but I think the hardest bit is admitting you've got it.
We have a saying within the fellowship that most people, or a lot of people, have to hit rock bottom before they realise that this is a problem. They really have to get to a point where they can't carry on, you know, on the life of, you know, full-time habitual addiction, because it they're slowly killing themselves. I mean, I certainly was slowly killing myself.
Although we should point out, it's not a requirement to get to that point to come along to a group. You know, if you
certainly
are concerned
not.
At any level.
No, that's right, you know, yeah.
What about for people who, you know, may have friends or family, they feel in that position and could do with someone to talk to get some advice? Are they welcome to come along, or is it only for the people that are actually addicted themselves?
No, they certainly can come along. You know, we welcome anybody to the group, including family members, if that would help.
It can be quite difficult, especially if it's a loved one that, you know, and there are lots of, it's nice when it's a friend, but when it's like, you know, your husband or your wife, it can be quite, you know, detrimental to you as well, not knowing what to do. So
yes, and also there are specific groups as well set up for friends, families and loved ones that they can go to, who, like you just said, don't identify themselves as an addict, but they're concerned about their son, brother, you know, etc., and that they can go and get some more information going to those other groups.
So what would you say is the best way to, for someone who's worried about someone else, to actually say to them, you know, would you like me to help you?
Or should they?
That's a massive question. Thanks for putting me straight on the spot there. I'm not sure about that, really. I guess that's all individual to those people and their relationship with one another. You know, that's a tricky one.
I guess it can be very hard, especially if the person in question hasn't even admitted to themselves they have an addiction.
This is very true, and it's a massive problem with the disease of addiction, that denial and that delusion, and one lying to oneself about whether they have a problem or not. It's a very tricky subject.
So how does a group work? I mean, because obviously the whole point is to kind of get you over the addiction and get you recovered so you can get back to having, you know, I use the phrase probably incorrectly, but a normal life,
right?
You know, one that doesn't involve addiction. Does that mean that when it's done you stop going to the group, or do people carry on coming and supporting others? Or
oh no, very much they carry on coming. In my experience, getting over the drugs was the easy bit.
Right.
That's the easy bit. You know, if you're fortunate enough to get rehabilitation, that is, or some sort of help through the government, that's the easy bit. The hard bit is staying clean. The hard bit is living with some of the things you've done whilst in addiction, learning to manage your emotions and your feelings and your thoughts again.
So does the group become quite an outlet to be able to talk about that side of things as well, then?
That's predominantly what it is for, I should say. It's a safe environment where you get to talk about your feelings and your thoughts around being an addict, and of course being on the LGBTQ spectrum, and as well as being an addict. And this is why I think the group is so important, that it addresses both of those things.
Cool. Well, I'm gonna end with probably the most obvious question. If people want to come and attend, or want to get hold of you and find out a bit more about it, is there a way that they can get hold of you, or is it something they can also do anonymously, I guess, is another question, if they...
Yeah, we do have an anonymity sort of policy, but they can come down to the New Street Centre, which is in St Jude's, Bristol, and that is our meeting, the LGBTNA meeting, and that's at 7:30 to 8:30 on every Thursday night.
Cool. Cool. And I believe you have a website as well, don't you?
We do, yes. Thank you for reminding me. We're also on the Where to Find. If you just Google search UKNA, you will find a very easy to navigate site of all the meetings, actually, across the whole of the UK.
Cool. Which is a very good one to point out, because we don't just cover Bristol. We're also going out down in Glastonbury and various other places.
Oh, so awesome.
If you are listening and you're not in Bristol, there's probably one local to you, so look it up on the website. Listen, it's really nice to talk to you about it. It's great to have a new support group that's there, especially for the LGBT community. And we do wish you all the best with it. And stay in touch. Let us know how it's going. But thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And best of luck.
Thank you.
Right, stay with us. News is up next. You're listening to Shout Out.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That was me that time. I don't normally sing about that, do I?
I know, we're going to have to get a soundbite for that one.
That's I Don't Like It, I Love It by Flo Rida.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting a soundbite of that one.
Really?
Yeah.
I would try and stop you, but I can't, because of course it's on podcast and put online anyway, isn't it? So
exactly.
I don't know. So that was a lovely chat with Emerson, I thought.
Oh, it's brilliant.
It's brilliant to have new groups coming along. So,
and I will emphasise, the point is, you know, too many times with issues like this, people wait until someone goes off the cliff before looking for help. You know, get in there as quick as possible.
Yeah.
Because otherwise...
Yeah. And I will point out, all the info and all the links and the like will be up on the podcast after the show's gone. Oh, Lucy's having a coughing fit.
Yeah. Sorry.
Are you ready for the news?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I am.
You don't want another cough?
Nope. I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
Backpack?
No? Fine. No,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's good.
Okay, here we go.
This is Shout Out News on 25th of February 2016.
Pope Francis has indicated that the Catholic Church will drop the opposition to the use of condoms, but only after protection against the Zika. The virus associated with birth anomalies endemic in Brazil. It signifies a softening of the Church's stance towards condom use, with the Pope telling journalists that whilst travelling back from Mexico, that avoiding pregnancy is not an absolute evil. It contrasts starkly with an answer he gave last year when questioned on condom use as a protection from HIV during a trip to sub-Sahara Africa, describing the subject of condoms and HIV as morally complicated for the Church. At this time, he was evasive, saying, "I don't like getting into questions or reflecting that are so technical when people die because they don't have water or food or housing. The Church's sole current advice to combat the spread of HIV is to encourage both sexual abstinence and monogamy."
In the United States, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention takes place this week, and Ted Cruz and Ben Carson, both Republican presidential candidates, will be sharing the stage with a number of anti-gay speakers. One of the most notorious is Steve Deese, a radio host from Iowa who described LGBT activists as homo-fascists bent on promoting a rainbow jihad. Eric Metaxas will be hosting the Presidential Candidates Forum itself and is a supporter of gay conversion therapies. He also bizarrely claims that churches that include LGBT members is proof that the US is becoming Nazi Germany.
Italy has just approved a watered-down bill allowing civil union for heterosexual and same-sex couples. The vote was 173 to 71 after removal of the provision allowing gay adoptions. Gay groups have intimated that this is a betrayal to the gay couples. Prime Minister Matteo Renzi described the vote as being historic. This is after opposition from Catholic community and lawmakers. Flavio Romani, president of the gay rights group ArchiGay, said the law that has come out of this is lacking heart.
The Mayor of London's office has awarded Survivors UK, a charity which supports male victims of rape, the sum of £78,000.
The money will be used to help tackle stigma around the issue and help educate men about the service. Kemi Badenoch, a London Assembly member, estimated that approximately 92,000 rapes and sexual attacks were not reported to the police over the 4 years between 2010 and 2014. That's 92,000 in case, because I mumbled that. Keith Best, Chief Executive of Survivors UK, said he hoped the new funding could be used to tackle the problem in prisons, as many such institutions, including care homes and schools, potentially harbour issues with sexual abuse.
Eurovision fans will no doubt be waiting with bated breath for the UK final, which is set to air on BBC 4 on Friday the 26th of February at 7:30pm, hosted by the Bake Off presenter Mel. The live final will feature a shortlist of six songs to be voted on by the general public. The UK finalists featured former reality stars and folk duo, among others, and the winner will represent the UK in the Eurovision final to be broadcast on May the 14th.
And finally, the popular British cartoon series Super Ted is set to make a comeback this year, but possibly without his flamboyant gay skeleton sidekick. Its 70-year-old creator Mike Young said he'd spent 2 years in talks over the remake, but may have to adapt some of the characters, as some of them, such as a gunslinging cowboy and a guy who is taunted for being overweight, simply weren't appropriate today. The rejected Teddy, who turned into a flying superhero, originally featured on S4C in Welsh and then in English on the BBC, but will be relaunched on our screens soon. For these new stories and more, visit shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Tara
and Lucy.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
I used to love Super Ted. I thought it was brilliant.
Best. Yeah, he was the best. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Morgan James, and you're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Shut up and dance.
Okay. Dance, don't you turn back.
Just keep your eyes on me. It's a cool song, that one. That's by Walk the Moon, which is an interesting name for a band, actually, when you think about it. So, what the...
I'm not allowed to talk.
Oh, no, I was about to point out the obvious, just have I say the name of the song, but I won't fall for that one. Oh, you like that song, though?
Yeah.
It's quite cool, isn't it?
It's about the same.
Yeah. I've got that Chili, the one coming up later as well. That's quite a cool, dancey one. In fact, I think I got a dance remix of it. I nicked off Handbags and High Heels, so... Anyway, talking of interesting names, our lovely little Rosie's back. Hello.
Hello.
So, in fact, it's not Rosie, is it? It's Rose.
Well, Rose, doesn't matter. Yeah. Rosie or Rose, whatever you want.
Happy New Year, Rose.
Oh, thank you very much. So, it's been a while.
But most of this is, of course, I'll be used to you kind of presenting with me on the show.
I know. I'm here next week. I'm here next
this
week.
This is the wrong way round. Normally, people come, like Nat did, and they come on and they be a guest and then they join Shout Out. They don't normally join Shout Out, they come back and be a guest.
Yeah, well, you know, you've got to keep it fresh, Andy, that's what I say.
So now, of course, Jane was in a few weeks ago talking to, in fact, I think it was a little bit more than a few weeks ago. It was
quite a long time ago, yeah. Quite a few months ago.
Talking about a film called B&B.
Yeah.
Now, it just turns out you just happened to work on it.
Yeah, so when Jane came into the studio, Jane Chard is the producer of the film, and they were advertising for Crew, which I just said, yeah, I'll do that, having no experience on film at all. But anyway, I managed to, you know, get a role in that crew, which was third assistant director, which basically involves...
It sounds posh. Is it as posh as it sounds? So assistant director.
It's not actually really a lot of directing, although you have some things to do with the extras in the film. But there wasn't an awful lot of extras in this film. But it's just basically kind of coordinating the general running of the floor, the film set.
You get to shout at lots of people.
And you shout at people quite a lot. So and you keep telling them to be quiet. Actually, that's the first assistant director who does that.
Oh, right.
But when he... Seth Adams, his name was, when he was off the set, I had to take over his place, which was sort of terrifying, and I was making him hurry up, or I have to do anything. So there's a long time... Not a long time, but there's sort of times in between each sort of scene where they're setting up the lighting and things like that.
Are you going to tell us what the film's about?
Yeah, so basically, B&B is a thriller, and directed by Joe Ahern, director of photography Nick Dance, who's done things like Skins and lots of different, you know, they're both sort of quite well-known people. And it's about the gay couple who went to the B&B, I believe it was in Cornwall, a few years ago now, and they were refused bed for the night because they were gay. And then they took them to court, they took those B&B owners to court, which they won the legal action.
So that's the film, a true story.
Yeah, so that's a true story. So B&B is about the imagined revisitation of that couple to the same B&B exactly a year later.
Oh.
And it's what unfolds is sort of slightly horrifying. There's a few twists and turns. It's not horrifying, but that, you know, that there may
I'm assuming it has one of
there
those.
May be a death involved.
I'm assuming it has one of those at the end of the film that all the characters are actually fictional and not based on anyone in real
life. I imagine that will run at the end credit, and my name will be there at the very bottom. I'll be the only person in the cinema waiting for my name.
I hope you didn't actually film at a real B&B because they'd be out of business soon.
So what it was actually, I don't know if I can give the exact location away, but it was actually at a farmhouse just outside of Bristol.
Right.
And it was very funny in the fact that, it's funny now looking back, but it was in that terrible weather where it was raining and freezing and so the whole place was a mud bath basically, and there was lots of fun with that. And then also we then had to go and film on Brandon Hill, and do you remember the night of the storm?
Yeah,
we were up there then.
Oh my god, are you being serious? It was howling a gale.
Yeah, and we still had to carry on because Jane Chard had negotiated with Bristol Council at certain nights that we could film there, so you couldn't just go, "Well, we won't go because it's
now,
a bit rainy."
This wasn't anything to do with the call for extras we had, was
yes.
it?
Yes, so
because we did put a call out on the radio saying if you wanted to be an extra in a film,
absolutely. They were filmed,
and you made them go out on that night
with the
storm.
Yeah.
Well, what
I do apologise to any extras that went because you heard it on Shout Out.
What can you say? Professional to the last, dedication,
The extras were absolutely fantastic, and we
consummate professional, you know what
she's
like.
Well, we recruited them, actually, from the Queen Shilling, so a big shout out to the Queen Shilling. We went down there one night, a few of us ADs, assistant directors, we went down there and just recruited people, and we got everyone that we needed, and they were absolutely brilliant, and they didn't complain, they turned up, they just, you know, did it all there.
Got soaked.
We tried to keep them warm in a sort of tent with a heater. But, you know, they were warmer than us. So
what has been your highlight? Was there one particular bit that was just, you know...
Oh, you know, it is a good... It's going to be a really good film. So it's good to work on something that was... real quality. I think it's going to be on general release at the beginning of next year, so it's a bit of a wait. I think the premiere is going to be in London late spring.
They're not premiering it here.
No, I think it's in London late spring, and then it goes around all the festivals over the summer,
right?
And then it gets put on general release. So, but I would say
it might be here one of the festivals then.
Yeah, hopefully.
Because this Queer Vision is our film festival.
Yeah.
And did you know this year there's a brand new Bristol Film Festival just starting?
Yeah, is that apart from Queer Vision as well?
Apart from Queer Vision, yes.
Wow.
And Drive Time here on BCFM before our show, the organiser was in talking about it, and they've got some LGBT movies because Dark Vision that Bernie Hodges and Darren Flaxo wrote is screening in the caves.
It is, Redcliffe Caves.
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing.
Worth checking out that one. BristolFilmFestival.com if you want to.
Yeah, I think the highlights really are just meeting all the amazing people involved, like all the crew and the technicians, and just everybody was amazing and just really friendly, and we all got on really, really well, and the actors were fantastic, really superb, and you know, like Tom Bateman, Paul McGann.
So will you get to see like a pre-release version, so you can see it before everyone else then?
Yes, we will, so we'll all be screaming and cheering and going, oh, I was in this bit, because there are lots of bits I'm standing behind doors queuing people, or I'm even in the car with Paul McGann in the police car, sort of literally almost under the seat, shining a light in his face, so it's that sort of stuff, you know. It's like a bit mad, but really good fun,
Cool. So normally we ask guests like if there's a website or something that people would, I'm guessing there isn't yet.
Well, actually, if you went to Hummingbird Films UK, you'd find it.
Right.
That's a sort of collaborative of Jane Chard's, definitely one of the sort of people that set that film company up. But you would find details of it on there. And I think hopefully there'll be a trailer released soon, I think. hopefully.
Look forward to it.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, listen, are you going to hang around for our little end of
show chat? Oh, yeah, the zoo. Yeah.
Zoo, cool. Okay. Okay. Stay there. We'll be back in a minute.
Hi, I'm Heather Small, and you're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
That's at Omi and Cheerleader.
Oh, me and you?
Yeah. Rose, have you got your pom-poms?
And my pom-poms? No. No, I've got, for listeners, I've got a nice little flower on my jacket and a sort of, I don't know, what would you call that?
Didn't they used to do that when
decorative.
They went cruising?
Well, when women are cruising, I have a flower.
I don't know. Did women go cruising? I don't know if they ever did. Did they?
I don't think they needed to. They have
female companions. I think that's called going to work, Andy.
So Rose, in this film, you know, I'm wondering about when someone dies.
Yeah.
Is it from a dodgy poached egg like the ones I cook?
We'll have to wait and see.
You get dodgy poached eggs? How do you cook a dodgy poached egg?
We did.
I'm just a useless cook.
Oh. That's it. You do have to cook them before the sell-by date. You get that, yeah?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's just they sort of come out rock hard.
That's not poaching, is it?
I like homemade scotch eggs. They're lovely.
Scotch? No, she said poached eggs.
Oh, poached eggs. Yeah. Oh, right. No. Oh, there easy.
No, that's a whole new thing, the old Scotch
Eggs Benedict. Mm.
We had amazing catering, I will say that, on site. It was so good. Lifted the spirits. Just so much lovely, lovely food.
That's the one thing that film production really needs to get right, isn't it? Otherwise everyone leaves.
Because I keep forgetting. I'm so used to seeing you, Mary, with Shout Out. I forget, of course, you go off and do all this kind of film stuff.
I don't do
too,
drama.
I know, but you must do the same things with your sound recording, surely.
It's
much smaller crews though, and it's not, there's not that kind of big entourage that you get with.
It wasn't
drama.
A massive crew. I think the crew is about 35 or something.
Yeah,
together.
Well, I work with a crew of like two or three.
Yeah, you and the
so
dog.
That
yeah,
is massive. Yeah, me and the cats.
for the listeners at home, Mary, you're a sound recordist by trade, aren't you?
That's right. Yeah.
So if you're ever at somewhere and you see someone, it's, you don't just hold the boom thing, do you? You put all the like mics on people.
Yeah, I'll hold a furry furry boom on pole.
She holds a furry mouth very regularly. Don't you, Mary?
I've had some remarks made about that were quite funny, but I can't repeat them on air.
No. Oh, you'll have to tell us after the show.
But Mary's got to meet John Craven.
I have got to meet John Craven.
Wow. I've always thought John Craven was on sort of wheels because he does sort of go from one leg to the other a lot, doesn't he?
No, he's just a vampire.
He does a little, dancey thing.
He's
a very lovely man.
Does he watch him? Yeah,
he goes from side to side like
a lot. Yeah,
does he?
Yeah.
I remember him from Newsround when I was a kid.
Yeah.
He's still
going. Last one's still standing.
He's still going.
Isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, he'll be going forever, John Craven.
Our reputation untarnished. Well done, John.
I'm wondering now, which are the worst, actors or animals to work with?
Oh, about the same, aren't they?
Yeah. They say never work with children or animals. That's pretty true.
Is it?
Yeah.
Although we've got actually in the theatre at the moment, this is just an interesting little thing. We've got a dog in the show. We've got Of Mice and Men on, and the dog is called Bentley, and it's an older dog in that play. And this black lab's there, little old black lab. Anyway, they actually call it to the stage from the green room. They say, Mr. Bentley to the stage. And
does he respond to that?
He does. He hears his name and he hears it, and then his owner takes him down. Yeah.
Oh, how sweet.
That's very sweet. Yeah.
Does he get to wear a bow tie?
No, he just has to sort of lie around, really. He's an old dog.
Are you back working at the theatre?
Yeah,
now?
Yeah.
You
just
are.
Back my regular job, yes. Yes. Yeah.
And
the mighty have fallen, yeah.
Yeah, but it must seem like a rest.
Yeah, kind of. But I think I'm still on a bit of a high from the movie, really.
I think you are.
Yeah, I know. It was so good. Such a good laugh.
Do you know what we're doing on the show next week?
Darren is coming in to give us some surprises about Pride, apparently.
What can we pull out of the hat this time?
All sorts of things, I'm sure.
Well, we like the one we had top of the show where we found out they got 10 grand this year. That's brilliant.
That's
news.
A good start. We must ask him about that, mustn't we?
Yeah,
which would be good. So, anyway, that is it for this week. Remember, if you are concerned about addiction, do check out our friends at Narcotics Anonymous LGBT. All the details we will, as always, put on our website.
the address for that is shoutoutradio.lgbt, which is where you can also listen to almost a whole year's worth of shoutout shows again and again.
We've got nothing to do. No social life.
Anyway, we'll be back next week live at 7 p.m. Check out our website for all the airtimes of all your other local stations. But for myself and the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Rose.
Bye, Rose.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.